Blog Talk Radio.
Truly the Lord is good. He is worthy of honor. He is worthy of glory. And yes, he is worthy of praise. All you tuned in to the very motivational, the inspirational, the time of God-centered, God-focused worship was expectation of miracles and greater miracles to come into manifestation right here on the spoken word. For we know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. And we're giving thanks to God on this melodious Monday, this miracle-making Monday. Yes, it is. Monday, September the 19th, 2022. Another day that the Lord has made. We must rejoice and be glad in it. Why? Because God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we are able to ask and even think. And I declare to you on this melodious Monday, if you delight yourself in the Lord, that means be thankful unto him, acknowledge him, worship him. He will give you the desires of your heart. Then Jesus said unto us, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. And let me tell you something. Sometimes, and this is the word of knowledge, hear this word. We look for materialistic things. And it's appropriate in many aspects because, as we know, money answers all things in this world. Money answers the necessity of hunger being abolished. Money answers the capacity of which you can pay your debts off. Money answers all things when it comes to being able to donate and to give to others. That is where money comes in handy. Money is an energy tool that brings about a much desired and a much needed change. It does. Money has its place. But sometimes what God adds on to us, we never even consider to the fact it's longevity, which means the expansion of our earthly life, whereas our expectation was to live to be 75, the Holy Spirit activated within us, connecting with the word of God alive within us, the dunamis, or the rhema word, says no, 100. That's adding on to you. Perhaps there was a situation of something in your physical body that was not operating properly. And God adding on to you was to remove that affliction. Perhaps it was a family-generated issue that was causing you much oppression and much frustration and much aggravation. God adding on to you, he resolved that conflict. Perhaps that adding on to you may be confusion at your workplace that you were getting intolerant of, frustrated about, aggravated about. And God adding on to you is to actually remove the oppressor from the work environment and to change the very environmental projection of your workplace. That is adding on to you. So there's many ways that God adds unto us. All these things, that means great things, wonderful things, positive things, miraculous things will be added unto you. That's right. And God is not slack concerning his promises. And he said in his word that before one jot be changed, heaven and earth will pass away. And to this day, to this record, the earth yet stands. So God watches over his word to perform it. So right when you are at the brink of your breakthrough, seems like everything is catastrophic. Everything is unbalanced, disharmonious, disenfranchised. You are on the brink of your breakthrough. The deliverance is coming. The most heated battle is fought at the very last waning minutes of the war. That's right. So hold on just a little while longer. And I'm telling you, everything, the word tells you, all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Everything, I mean every big thing, every little thing is going to be all right. And what a wonderful way to go into the spoken word today to give you that push, that much needed boost to get you miraculously performing in this week. And I'm just thanking God for those of you who have tuned in from the workday. That's right. Many of us have toiled and labored. That's right. But the scripture tells us, here's a word of encouragement, be not weary in well-doing, for you shall reap in due season if you faint not. So don't get faint. Don't get weary, because the breakthrough is on the way. And we're just thanking God for all of his promises. God makes us such extraordinary promises. It is literally miraculous within the concept of itself, because he's doing things that we don't even know that he's doing. That's right. He's creating miracles that we never even thought could exist that was in our lifespan. But he's doing it, and we should just take time, because God brought us to and through this day, and just raise our hands and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for watching over us, for shielding us from all hurt, harm, and danger, for protecting us, for keeping us, for leading us, for guiding us, for being our Jehovah Jireh, our provider, for being Jehovah Rapha, Lord God, our healer, for being Jehovah Nissi, for being our banner of righteousness. That's right. For just being God and beside you, just being none other but you. And sometimes God just wants us to just acknowledge him. That's right, acknowledge him, to recognize him, and just to put him first. When you put God first, you will never be last. Say it with me. I am putting God first, so therefore, I will never be last. That's right. And when you do it, he balances the equation and makes it right. So we're just so thankful on this day. I know I'm praising God. You know, sometimes we get that Monday morning blues. We're feeling so, you know, antiquated. We're feeling so lethargic. Oh, me, oh, my, I've got to go and toil. No, 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 no. It's a labor of love. See, you stay where God has appointed you, because where God has appointed you, he has assigned you. That's right. He has assigned you to a specific task. That task must be completed in order for God to get the glory, for you to go to your next level up. And you don't be weary in well-doing, for you shall reap in due season if you faint not. And the scripture tells us, despise not the day of small beginnings. That's right. So every great manifestation that we see on the earthly level, it started out from a minuscule property, a small concept, a suggestion, perhaps an idea, perhaps even an urge. Then the urge generated a drive. The drive generated an action, and then the reaction came, and then the proaction came, and then came the manifestation. So sometimes God just takes us through steps, because why? He doesn't want us to be soiled or spoiled. He wants us to be grateful, to be thankful, and to remain humble. That's right. For blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And let me tell you something. I had a lady to communicate with me by way of email, and she said, you're just full of scripture. You just always speak the scripture. This is my energy. This is my life source. This is my life force that creates the ideal in my life. Because as I look back at the things that I have experienced, the frustrations, the anxiety, the sorrow, the emptiness, the void, oh, yes. I testify to you and tell you I've experienced those things. But I can tell you, standing on the word of God, trusting in his word, not wavering, even though sometimes I couldn't go forward, I just had to stand still. As God told Moses, you stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Then he told him again, stand still and know that I am God. See, sometimes God has to validate things to us because we get carnal-minded. We give into fear. We give into anger. We give into human emotion, and we get distracted. We get taken off the pathway. And sometimes God has to step in and push us out because we've gotten embedded within the equation of human depression. And see, if you're not careful, if you don't remove depression, depression becomes oppression. The next thing you get suppressed, and that's when the downward spiral effect occurs. And God does not want us to live that way, to live the glorious life, to live the blessed life. We have to be obedient, and it's better to obey than to sacrifice. That's right. Obedience is the key element that gets the very focus and attention of God. That's right. And you know something? I want to share a word of knowledge with you. On this Monday, I'm just happy, just joyful in my spirit because I know God is doing something on the supernatural frequency. But you've got to have the spiritual vision to encompass what God is doing. And let me tell you something. Sometimes, this is just sometimes, not all the time, we get so bogged down with our human responsibilities. God knows that we're human. We experience emotions. Sometimes we fall by the wayside because the scripture tells us the Spirit of God does not always strive with man, but that he is also what? Human. He's also flesh. So when we are in the Word, and when we fellowship and we have a spiritual relationship, again, let me get you together real quick. One lady called me Sister Soldier. No, I'm Abby. I am Sister Abby. But people call me Mother. That's wonderful. I don't care what you call me. It's what God knows about me. See, let me tell you something. When you get off into religious proliferation about doctrine, about things that are just not even relevant to spirituality, that's where you get distracted. Our relationship is with God, and we're to have a spiritual connectivity with him. And see, when you have a true spiritual connection with God, you're not going to fall for false prophets. You're not going to fall for false teachers, despite how convincing they may be, despite how overwhelming they may be. You're going to take everything back to the Word. What did Jesus say? What did Father God say? And it's going to be embedded within you. And you know, God wants that one-on-one, mano-a-mano connection with us. That's right. So therefore, he gets the glory out of our prosperity. God is blessed from it. Out of our victories, God is blessed from it because we have the spiritual connection. Let's reconnect back to the very aspect, to the Genesis perspective of God. And let's get this vain proliferation of cosmopolitan worship and cosmetic practices, get that stuff out because it has weakened the very elementation of the true church. The true church is within us. You can't buy this. You cannot take brick and mortar and create a true church. I don't care what people have lied and told you over the decades. People have been lied to. See, a lie can be a dangerous thing. It's like having a loaded weapon in the hand of an individual who's not stable. They'll do anything and everything because they think they have the rightfulness of referendum to do so. So listen to what I'm saying to you. Get deprogrammed. Get out the religious proliferation of, oh, you've got to dress this way. You can't wear this color. You know what? Those things are based upon wives' tales. They're based upon concepts of mankind's frivolity, his entertainment perspective. What God wants is a people who love him, who desire him, who will serve him, and with the wealth that he gives them, they will help reestablish the kingdom of God by defeating poverty, by feeding hungry bellies, while at the same time replenishing and feeding hungry souls. Why casting down the limitation of being naked and not clothed properly will help to substantiate and buy provisions where adequate clothing is manifested. This is what God wants us to do. He wants us to destroy the homelessness factor by helping others to have financial liberty and ascertaining their place of residency. How should they know, an unbeliever know, that God lives within us? By what we teach? No. By what we preach? No. It's by what we do. Jesus said this, please keep the teachings of Jesus constant. We've got to keep them as constant reminders. We need to do little footnotes. If we think we're going to forget and become slack in our understanding, Jesus said, then shall all men know that ye are my disciples indeed when ye have love one to another. And love one to another is called charity. Say it with me, charity. That means love in action. I'm doing certain things because of the love of God that's within me. And this is what people need. This is what's going to bring people back to the fold. This is what's going to captivate and actually get people to come in to want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Because as the scripture says, he said, when men are cast down, they will look at us and say that there is lifting up. This is the type of relationship that God wants with us. We're to flourish when others are failing. We're to prosper when others are becoming victimized by inflation. We are just the polar opposite. Remember, Apostle Paul said these words. He said, ye are a peculiar people and a royal priesthood, that ye should show forth the praises of him that brought you out of darkness into the marvelous light. He didn't say wonderful light. He said marvelous. Marvelous means beyond your meager expectation or your greatest aspiration. Marvelous light. And this is a marvelous light we walk in. And he said, with long life will I satisfy thee. So I'm not going to fear becoming older. I'm going to anticipate becoming more youthful, more healthy, excellent health, become more excellent, and just benefit from the greatness of God. He wants to prove himself to his people. Are you willing to stand up and be the evidence that God needs on this planet Earth? And oh, and I love that scripture. It says, they that wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength. He said, what? They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. What a mighty God we serve. And we're just thanking God for all of his wonders, all of his splendid miracles that he's performing in the here and now. And let us continue to pray. Pray without ceasing. Pray for those young men that are over in Pakistan who are being confronted. Their lives are on the line because they are teaching and preaching the gospel, and the powers that be over that nation don't like the truth and are threatening to execute these young men. We're going to speak a word of miracle reaction on their behalf. Because don't forget this. Remember when Paul and Silas were in prison? And it said at midnight, Paul and Silas begin to pray and sing praises unto God. What happened? The jailhouse, it rocked. It shook, it rattled, it rolled, and the very bars fell from that prison, and the walls were torn down. And when the guard saw, he knew that was a miracle. God made the earthquake set them free. That guard was ready to take his life, and Apostle Paul said, don't do it. We're all here. See, this is what we need to pray, that God will put his loving angels around these men and protect them and bring them out of that hostile situation, and that the very oppressors see the light of God and Jesus Christ in these men, and that they lay down their false teaching that they're being led by and come to the light of the truth. And don't you know that God can do that? Look at Apostle Paul. He was known as Saul of Tarsus. Literally, Saul of Tarsus was deemed as a rebel, as a terrorist in that day. He was locking up believers. He was persecuting them. That means tearing down what they were building up. He was coming after them full strong, full circle. What happened? Here he's going on to the road of Damascus, going to take care of business to cause further damage. What happened? God spoke, and he said to this mighty general, this mighty man, he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? What did he say? Who art thou, O Lord? Saul knew what he was doing. He knew who that was. He got scared. He was shaking in his boots. Then the voice spoke. He said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. He said, don't you know it's hard to kick against the bricks? That means you can't bring down what heaven built. And what happened? He got smoked with blindness. And he remained blind until he went to the household. That's right, Ananias and Sapphira, and they laid hands on him. Laid hands on him, and he was restored. God sent him on a new mission, the very man that terrorized the congregations, the believers, became one of the most victorious and strongest and most assertive spokesperson for the kingdom of God upon the earth. That's right. People were afraid. Don't you know people were afraid of Saul? Don't you know they were scared of him? They thought that maybe he was trying to find out some information where he could take some other people down. They were scared of this man. But you know what? God put a hedge around him. And he gave him the affirmation to go forward as a changed man. And oh, you're talking about a full spokesperson. God gave him the charge to organize believers and within the peripheral region of the world. And he had to give some pretty strong connotations. People had it wrong. They were getting off on the wrong thing. Idol worship and carnal behavior and all these things. And Apostle Paul had to set the record straight. So God can make a miracle happen through us, with us, in us, by us, and with us. So hold on. Because the change is coming. And you know something? I was busy yesterday, and the Holy Spirit, I was going to come on the broadcast. But see, all things are lawful, but not expedient. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And, you know, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and told me, no, Monday, you're going to minister the word Monday. And I'm thinking, like, okay, I'm going to go to work as an educator, and I'm going to deal with these beautiful faces and some of the grown people. You know, we have to sometimes pray for our colleagues. We're all experiencing some degree of turbulence, but many are the afflictions of the righteous, and the Lord, he hears them and delivers us out of them all. We know that. And I said, okay, then I'm going to be obedient. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So lo and behold, that's the reason why I'm here. And I'm going to follow the Holy Spirit. You know, forget vain religiosity. That doesn't get you very much. And I'm just going to be obedient so that the breakthroughs will happen. And I thank God that he used me as a vehicle for change to take place. There was something that was impressing upon me, and it was about honor. I know many of you probably said, honor? What does honor have to do with your relationship with the Lord? What does it have to do with servitude? Honor is the platform of which servitude and which prosperity and which love divine and great and miraculous things take place. Yes, honor. It starts with honor. Honor is something that has to be constantly impinged upon, has to constantly be addressed and taught. Because sometimes in such a dishonorable society that we live in, where people don't respect one another, it's really hard to encompass the truth about honor. And honor is the ability to recognize, stay with me, honor is the ability to recognize importance. within others. And when we constitute the honor system, we take on a different personality. We take on a different perspective. When you honor, you respect, you regard, you revere, you're benevolent, you're kind, you're considerate, you become thoughtful. But where there is no honor, there will be no prosperity. Where there is no honor, there will be nothing but disrespect. Where there is no honor, there will be nothing but confusion. Where there is no honor, there will be turbulence. There will be catastrophe because nobody is respecting anybody. And this is what caused the entire destruction of mankind. That's why Jesus had to come. He had to come. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes upon him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why? Because the honor system was gone. That's right. Where did it start? When Saint Lucifer no longer abided within the honor system of revering God the Father, the creator of mankind, as being sovereign and superior to all. What happened? Because he became dishonorable. He wanted to be a creator. He wanted to be in charge. He wanted to be large, much larger than what he was. And as a result, Father God casted him out of the kingdom of heaven. The scripture tells us the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. And so therefore, he was casted out of heaven, and two-thirds of the angels fell with him. Why? Because of dishonor. See, dishonor says violence. Honor says keep into perspective. He lost all of his perspectives because he had what was called blind ambition. Blind ambition causes dishonor. Blind ambition causes destruction. Now look at those angels who were complacent. And you know that St. Lucifer was the most beautiful angel that God created. He lost his honor. And he plummeted and ended up with nothing. And here we are on the reciprocating end of that dishonor. This is the reason why Jesus had to come and to redeem us from eternal separation from Father God. See, we were once all spirit children. Did you not know you were a spirit child before you became a natural child? Why? We dwelled within the kingdom of God. We were spirit. And when God spoke us into existence and through natural copulation, our parents came together, we then manifested on the physical level. So the spirit or the concept generated into a physical being within the embodiment of the womb of a woman. And this is how we took on physical characteristics of being a human being. That's right. We were an embryo. Then we became a fetus. Then we became a newborn and then an infant. And, you know, the list goes on and on. You become a toddler. You become an adolescent. You know, you become a juvenile. You become a young adult. Then you become an adult. Then you become a mature adult. And the cycle is perpetuating. So we all started from the spiritual level. And this is the reason why it's so important to understand that we need to abide within the ranks of where God assigns us. See, when we take all these things into perspective, we institute honor. That's right. Here, one of the Ten Commandments is actually the command, honor thy father and mother. That's honor, respect, regard, show benevolence, show kindness, Be obedient. Be considerate. Be compassionate. See, honor requires these things. These are attributes of honor. When you honor your parents, especially your mother, because your mother is the very essence of your being. Why? Because as mothers, we carry our children close to our hearts. So when they're born, they weigh heavily on our minds. We share the same biology with our children. We share the same anatomy with them. And as a result, we are required as children from our mothers, and even as mothers to the children are to regard, respect, and honor their mothers. Don't you know that God will add years to your life, will add blessings unto you for honoring your mother, for doing things for your mother, for speaking kind to your mother, for thinking well of your mother, for being reminded of your mother? So don't forget, a mother is a gift that is present with you in your life for a purpose. God will multiply you exceedingly when you respect your mother. But when there is disrespect, that's disharmony, cruelty, and I've seen some children, and it sickens me, despise their own mother. Only Satan would be so undermined to con somebody to be that foolish. And when you know, when you feel like that towards your mother, you're striking the hand of God against you. You want a harmonious life. You want a joyful life. You want to see many years on this earth happy and healthy and prospering and just living the kingdom of God through your life. Respect your mother. Honor your mother. That is showing God, I acknowledge you as God. You put all things and rightful perspective. And so when you honor God, God is going to make sure that nobody dishonors you. But honor is something that is no longer being taught. Everybody's talking about the quick road to prosperity. Everybody's talking about doctrine. Everybody's promoting their own agenda. But the basics, the Genesis perspective of spiritual attributes is not being taught. And God said in his word, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Knowledge requires honor. That means honoring the person who's instructing you. This person has been through the ropes. They've experienced some things. They're trying to instruct you where you can avoid some of the criticalities and some of the disassociations that they experienced. Honor. It starts with honor. Honor of God, respecting and regarding of God. Stop using, and this is something I'm going to say, I don't know if some people are going to get angry with me, if I'm saying I don't want to listen to her anymore, that's cool, I'm good with you. You're not going to stop me from teaching. I want you to know that, because when God gets tired of me teaching, I'll retire somewhere and I'll be more happy, more vibrant, and more illustrious than ever. But for now, I'm on assignment. So I'm not going to please everybody with things that are spoken, but you need to listen to this. Stop using that ugly word that I hear so many people use, and it's a disrespect. That's dishonorable to God, and you know what I'm talking about. That two-syllable word, it's a horrible word to use. That's a sense of dishonor. And actually, I'm reflected as being a form of blasphemy. Who would be fool enough to disrespect God when he can speak one word and you flatline? That's right. Who would be so foolish as to speak one word against God knowing full well that he can pull the plug on you? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise instruction. That means we're surrounded by fools in the entertainment industry. How many times have I looked at production, media productions, and I've cut it off because they said that word, I can't do it. No child of God should be able to tolerate someone saying defamatory things about Father God. Oh, no, you talk about my daddy, you're talking about me. Father God is my daddy, okay? I love my daddy. I thank God he is my daddy. He's the heavenly father, and I call him dad. When I speak to him and I really got something on my mind, I call him dad. And when you disrespect the heavenly father and use that foul language and use that two-syllable word, I've lost it for you. Many people that I used to admire for their abilities of a performing arts, they used that word, and I was done with them. But you're just like your father, the devil. Only Satan would institute someone to use something foul like that. We need to stop witnessing everything and applauding all this garbage. Because this garbage is beginning to filter, and it smells. It's putrid. It's a stench. And that stench is going all over the place. Honor. It starts back with honor. When you honor, you know how far to go. When you have honor, you know what to say and you know what not to say. When you have honor, you know how to act and you know how to react. We've got to institute honor. God keeps putting this in my consciousness about honor. So this is where we're going to begin back to where we need to be. We are going to have to, through the power of God's presence, get this society back into the honor system. When you have the honor system intact, you can't say any old thing. You can't act any old way. You can't conduct your affairs in any old mannerism, because your spirit will be convicted and you'll feel badly about it. And this is the reason why honor is so important. That's right. And to those who walk in the way of honor, of honoring God, he comes first. Everything else has to run second, third, fourth, and beyond. He will give you a double portion of his blessing, of his divine favor, of his mercy. And blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. But it starts with honor. It starts going back to honor. Until we begin to honor God and put God back in the place where he belongs in first place, we're going to continue to see the downward spiral. We're going to continue to see the failures in society overwhelm the land. We're going to continue to see it. And we have to go back to the honor system. So I'm laying the foundation for our upcoming sessions that we're going to be going into, talking about honor, how God looks at honor, how honor impacts us and impacts those around us. But until then, you've got to be patient. You've got to wait until Sunday. I know this time went so quick on this miraculous, miracle-making, melodious Monday. But look, in all things give thanks. But this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And know that you and I can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. Have a miracle-filled week and a terrific triumphant. Come on now, say, I am terrific, I am triumphant, I am more than a conqueror through him that loves me. And I'll see you again on Sunday. You've got your host, the Esquire Abby A. Phelps, known as Motor City Ma Rani, saying, God is great and greatly to be praised, and the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are saved. Be blessed, and we'll see you again real soon. Oh, yes. Yeah.